Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Testing, testing, conversation, stuff, pop, PPP, pop. There we go.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. On this episode, we get into a couple of local college radio stations, as well as Mama Africa's cuisine straight out of Tooele. We are welcoming Austin Hatch, the programming director for KWCR, the college station up at Weber State University in Ogden, my hometown. The station was founded in 1965 and has always had an ever-evolving format based on the students working there at a given time. Austin, first of all, thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Is that an accurate description? Does the station sort of evolve year to year based on who shows up to volunteer and spin tunes for you guys? Or is it more a little locked down than that? You're the programming director.
Yeah. You know, I actually didn't think about it, but since I've been there, it actually has changed quite drastically. I know that in the 90s, and like a while ago, it was a hip-hop station,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then we've gotten into the indie stuff a lot lately. And it's funny because just in the time I've been there, it was like really obscure indie music, and now we're going towards more of like the indie pop stuff. So it's getting a little more listener friendly.
Is that based on your tastes or just on what you've noticed people kind of asking for? Or?
It's what I'm into. I think what the biggest difference is our music directors have changed this year, and they're two very nice ladies, and they love a lot of the catchier, poppier stuff. So.
Okay.
But yeah, it does. It changes depending kind of on who runs it. It's completely student run, and it changes throughout the semester.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask is, you know, how much is it completely students, or what is the relationship, I guess, with the university? Do they give you guys like funding or the space and keep kind of hands off, or do you have to go through any, you know, kind of bureaucracy to keep the station going at the university level?
They give us the space. We're located right there in the Union Building. Like, you know, we have a really awesome spot. It's just like right there by the bowling alley. Everyone can walk by and look into the studio, which is really cool. They do a lot of our funding. Other than that, we have an advisor. His name is Ty Saunders. He's really awesome. But he's kind of just an advisor when we go to him with questions, like the GM and I. It's mostly student run. Basically, the students pick the staff, and we all work together, and we do that ourselves, and it's really cool.
Okay. So do you find, I mean, are most of your on-air talent, is it people who just love radio? Are they people looking to go into it as a profession? Are they just music lovers who want a way to kind of get their favorite stuff out into the world? Or?
We get a lot of people that love it and want to do it, and then we get a lot of people that just do it out of curiosity, yeah, who end up really loving it, and they end up sticking around and being like huge contributors to the station. So it's really cool because like we advertise the class kind of early, and then people show up just almost out of curiosity, and it's really cool because a lot of people start out really shy and curious, and they don't really know, and then by the end they love it. And then we do have some people that want to do careers in sports and stuff like that too.
Oh, okay. Now when you say class, is it like a class where you guys kind of show people how to like run the board, stuff like that?
Or? It is, yeah. We actually train everyone from the ground up how to be a DJ. It's really fun. That's how I got involved, actually.
Nice.
And then once you're DJ for so long, you can start doing your own shows and you can start applying for staff and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Now, how long have you been involved personally with the station?
I've been involved for 2 years now. I started out as a DJ, and then within a year, I was the production guy. I was doing all the recordings and stuff. Okay. Kind of like he's doing in the booth over here.
Right.
And then I ended up this year being the program director, which is a huge responsibility, but it's actually a lot of fun too. So.
Is it a lot of, you know, kind of scheduling people who already have a great idea of what they want to do? Or do you have kind of look like, hey, we want somebody to do this kind of music or maybe a sports show or whatever it is?
We have an awesome sports show. My friends do it actually, and they're really good at it. And then, yeah, it's a lot of, we have people just coming to us and they said, hey, I had this idea for the show and I think it'd be really cool if we did this. And if, you know, they actually fill out like a form and kind of make a fake episode of the show. We go over it and listen to it, and then we decide where to go from there. And it's pretty cool. We have a huge variety. We have a guy that plays just really obscure electronic music. And then we have a guy that talks about hiking, and it's just like whole bunch of stuff.
So. Okay. What attracted you originally to want to even just play around or be a DJ yourself at the station?
I'm a huge music lover, and I play a lot of music, and I was really interested in the production side of things, like recording and stuff, and I took a class that was about audio production, and the teacher is the advisor for the radio station, and he suggested it, and I kind of got into it from there, and I'm like, this is really cool, and I kind of just, you know, I kind of fell in love with it. It's a lot of fun, so...
Is it something you see yourself pursuing when you're out of college in terms of career stuff, or is it just, you know, something maybe you'll do on the side or do community radio maybe later on? Or
I could definitely do something in the field, even if it's like broadcast related and not necessarily radio, but radio is a ton of fun. I would definitely love to do it if the circumstances were right.
What are some of the biggest challenges in terms of a college radio station, I guess, as opposed to a commercial station? I mean, is it difficult to kind of get the word out to potential listeners, or is it, you know, just hard to kind of keep everyone dedicated enough to keep showing up to do the show? I mean,
oh, you nailed it. All of the above. It's a lot more difficult to get people involved, and a lot of people aren't even aware of it half the time, and so it's really hard to create an awareness.
Yeah.
We have an awesome group this semester just getting started right now, actually today. And I think we're going to do a really good job. I'm really excited about it. But it's terribly hard to get people involved and just get the word out, yeah.
Do a lot of people kind of, and this is me in my college years, I mean, do people sort of show up really excited and sort of get going and then they realize how much work it is?
They do.
In addition to their regular school stuff and jobs or whatever, but...
Yeah, they do. It's kind of the thing where you just got to keep it positive and you got to just make it fun for yourselves. And I think we're doing that, but it definitely gets to a point sometimes where you kind of start doubting things, but when you surround yourself with people like we have that are really motivated and they really care about it, it doesn't make it that hard.
Okay. What kind of response do you get from, you know, either regular listeners or new listeners who might, you know, yeah, start a new semester and first catch you? I mean, do people show up to events that you guys throw pretty actively? Do they call in, send you emails, you know, requests, I guess?
Yeah, we're pretty involved with the local music scene. And that gets a lot of other people involved with our station because we put on a lot of shows, actually. And that gets a lot of people really interested in what we're doing, and it helps get the name out.
So when you talk about putting on shows, I mean, are you talking about bands from all over Utah, Ogden specific,
state specific? We've had bands from outside of Ogden come up. Like we had Book on Tapeworm last year for our college radio day.
Okay.
I love those guys. So I think they're one of the bigger bands that came up. And then a lot of the times we reach out to the local Ogden people. So
yeah, what do you, I mean, as someone who's living up in Ogden, I'm assuming, right now, I mean, what do you kind of see when you look at the local music scene of Ogden? Because obviously, you know, Salt Lake always has kind of an evolution of different bands going on, being a larger city, and Provo obviously has gotten tons of buzz the last few years and has a lot of bands going on.
Yes.
How do you kind of put Ogden into that picture?
Ogden is very different. I'm a huge fan of the Provo scene, and I've been getting into the Salt Lake scene a lot more. But Ogden it's very different. Like, it's a completely different vibe. There's a lot of like reggae and a lot of hardcore music coming out of Ogden. Okay. There's a lot, like, the more south you go, it gets prettier and mellower.
Right.
And you get towards Ogden and Logan, and it's like the punk scene and the hardcore scene. And
indeed.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Ogden's, I don't know, there's a lot of talent there. I like to go to Mojo's and check out a lot of the local artists. I've been out of it for a while.
For the summertime?
I kind of took my Facebook away for the summer, and I kind of lost track of what shows were going on in the Ogden area. But
yeah, I mean, Mojo's does, what, all ages shows up there and stuff, and obviously you're not too far from down here. Do you have any events coming up that we should know about?
We're participating in College Radio Day, which is in October. And it's actually our second year participating in it.
Okay.
It's actually a national thing. I think over 500 something radio stations are participating.
Oh, nice.
And we kind of just do live in studios all day, and then we usually have a concert. So.
Oh, that's cool. That sounds great. Sounds like a lot of good stuff going on up in Ogden, for sure. And we can hear you on, what, 88.1 FM if we're in range. How's your signal? Is it?
We have our transmitter in a temporary location right now, so it's not the greatest signal. But we do have an app for, like, the iPhone.
Okay.
And that's just, you just type in KWBCR on the App Store.
Nice.
Or you can visit us at 881weberfm.org, and you can stream us there. You can actually creep on us there from our webcam.
Oh, no, really?
So
oh,
nice. If anyone's misbehaving in the studio,
you can you'll creep catch on them immediately.
And it's kind of funny. Like,
see them at work?
Nonchalantly doing things.
Nice. Oh, well, Austin Hatch, Programming Director at Weber State Station, KWCR. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, yeah.
North Valley is a five-piece indie rock band based right here in Salt Lake City. They made it to the summer finals of Velour's Battle of the Bands back in 2012 and released their debut EP shortly thereafter. This is a song called Left for Dead off of the 2012 EP called The Bad Habits. Valley will be playing Slug Localized on Saturday, September 20th, along with the National Parks and the Weekenders. The show kicks off at 9 p.m. and it's just $5 out at the Urban Lounge. For more information on the band, visit them online at thenorthvalley.tumblr.com. Mama Africa is an online food outlet based out of Tooele, Utah, of all places, that offers authentic African foods and various things like an oh-so-good hot sauce. The business also promotes African entertainment and celebrations throughout the state of Utah. Slug writer and resident vegan Amanda Rock chatted with the founder of Mama Africa, Kathy Shalambo Lokemba, to talk about the company.
Catering company here. What sort of events do you cater?
I cater for fundraising, for cultural shows, a lot of weddings, parties, and also funeral, unfortunately. Oh. I mean, kind of everything, you know? Big barbecues. I have a lot of farmers market fairs and festivals, mostly involving all my festival in Tooele.
Okay, so what kind of food does your catering company serve?
We do serve authentic African food and Creole food.
Oh, okay.
Creole food, it's a mix of African, French. You know, I grew up in France, let's say in Belgium, close to France for the last 30 years. Yeah, so I get a lot of influence from that.
Yeah, I see that. So how do people react to your catering?
They just love it.
Do they?
They just love it. It's just something different. And, you know, when you try to attract them to come and try, they're just like, what is that? Who's she? You know? And I'm just like, I'm local like you. Few of them will come and test it and they're just amazed.
I like that.
Yeah, so from the testing, they buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a slogan that says, you smell it, you test it, you love it.
I like that. You lived in France.
Let's say in Belgium.
Oh, Belgium,
it's,
okay.
It's close, it's very close to the French border.
How has that influenced your cooking?
Actually, I learned to cook with a lot of spices.
Mm-hmm.
Also, all the French plate, the Belgian plate, I will mix it with my African background and it will create some Creole plate.
Your recipes, do any of them come from your family?
Yes.
Your background?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Actually, it comes from my mom and my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
She just passed away like a month ago. She was a great woman.
Sorry. I went out and tried your, how do you pronounce it? Is it pili pili?
Voila, you get it.
Okay.
Pili pili.
Pili pili hot sauce. And it's good. I'm impressed with it.
And it's all natural. There's no ad, there's no color. It's no preservative, it's stand by himself.
Good food.
It's good for the system.
So how is it good for the system?
Actually, it cleanses you.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat some, you feel like you're sweating and everything starts, you know, your blood kind of runs.
Yeah, it definitely wakes you up.
Yes, it does. And it's very good for the cleansing.
Yeah, so what do you use it on?
That's my secret, but I'll tell you more. It's mostly vegetable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like from garlic to onion and the hard pepper that I use.
Oh.
Could be a habanero and chili. So since we respect the color of the product, we don't add anything. So sometimes my bottle change colors, but it's the same recipe, the same balance.
That's what tricked me, because it doesn't look as hot as it is.
Oh yeah, you know what? On the market, I make my customer try it with a toothpick. They just touch it.
Yeah.
Don't even dip it.
That's all you need.
Touch it and then just test it. And I call it a lollipop. It's lollipop.
How does the charity thing work? Because I know that 5% of the sales of the hot sauce go to charity.
Goes to the charity. Actually, the charity that I'm supporting is one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But the project on the pili pili sauce is to liberate the women.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Congo, when you go and get birth and you don't have enough money, they will jail you.
Mm-hmm.
They will put you in prison, you and the baby.
Wow.
Until the bill is paid. And a lot of women don't go to the clinic until they do. So when you have your baby, it could be two babies.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't have enough for one. What about two or three?
Yeah.
So we kind of trying to help. Sometimes it's a bill of $40, sometimes 60. It's not that much. So I decided to have 5% of my pili pili sauce go and help these women.
How were you inspired to do that?
I just cry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so sensitive. And when I hear stories from my Congo country, I just cry. I'm just like, that's not fair. Why them, not me, you know? And then I decided to do something. I say, hey, we can't just let them all lock in there. Let's try to help one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we try. We've been trying to do. So from that idea, I took the idea to open up a clinic for women. Because in the Congo, they rape like 48 women an hour, every hour. And nobody cares. So they just abandon. When a woman, a married woman, is being raped, the husband will forsake her. And sometimes
she
nowhere in the street. So they find themselves with unwanted pregnancy or HIV and all kind of stuff. There is no clinic for women. There is no breast cancer detection. There is no colon detection. There is nothing. Not even a scanner to see if you have cancer, nothing. So we decided to bring this project on and, you know, try to network with as much help as we can to have it done. And that's what we're doing this concert. Kanda Bongomen is a great activist, and he's the one who stands for women and children abused women in Congo, and he's like an ambassador for us. So I just co-team with him to have this concert done so we can raise as much money as we can to help this lady.
So you're working with Kenda Bongoman? You're putting on these concerts to raise money for a women's clinic.
That's right.
How did you meet him, and how did this all happen?
Actually, he's one of my husband's cousins. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
He came to Utah time to time to visit us, but we never had a concert done before. So I invited him this time, since he was touring the U.S., to stop by Utah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so for people who haven't heard his music, can you just describe it to us?
Ooh, baby, I will break it down for you.
Break it down for me.
He is the top superstar in the soukous music. Soukous means shake yourself.
Shake yourself.
Yeah, so it's a music that just makes you move. You can't remain sit. Mm-hmm. That is just... it's not gonna happen. You have to get some move down there.
That sounds fun.
So that's how he makes you shake and dance, because he's just this enthusiastic man. Mm-hmm. He communicates happiness and hope, and that's why we like to bring him here.
When are the performances in Utah?
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be on September 20th at the Roaming Center, or performing in, at the Weber.
Oh,
the
Weber
State University.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So our door will be open at 6 and the show will start around 7.
Okay. How much does it cost to get in?
Okay, for the students it will be 28.
Okay.
And then for everybody else, from 35 to 45.
How are the concerts going to raise money for the projects? Like, what percent of the concerts?
Everything will go.
Everything goes directly?
Yes. Actually, the concert will take place, and then we're going to have to settle with everything we spent, you know, the location, the airplane ticket, and the transportation. Well, all that is covered, the rest will go for the...
Okay.
The proceed will go for the clinic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You mentioned a water project.
Water project, yeah. It's amazing that in my country, it's a country that it's plenty water, but people don't have access to it until now. It's unbelievable. And we have one of the most longer and juicy river after the Amazon.
Yeah, isn't it one of the biggest rivers?
That's right.
Ever?
Mm-hmm. And still, people don't have access to that water.
Where does the water go?
From the source, Lukalaba, it goes to the, I don't know if you say embouchure, to the sea. And that's how the water is distributed. But in the Congo, you have all these little rivers and... I mean, you cannot walk 1 kilometer without crossing a water source. Some places is dirty water, they will drink in it, swim in it, clean in it, and I mean, and all these things bring diseases. So people, I mean, they're just used to it. They just never have seen clear water before. They don't understand that you can clear that water. So that's the project we're gonna bring, to have clear water distributed to every one of us. Because, I mean, there is no way. You can cure cancer, I mean, you can treat cancer and stuff, but you have to understand where all these sicknesses come from. And most of them come from the water. When there is mosquitoes and dirty water and you drink it, you're swimming it, guess what? It's gonna stick in you, in your system. So we try to tackle the source of the problem, the cause of the problem, then we can, you know, move on and have people who will be, you know, disease free, and they can live longer, either kids or elder. It's important to have nice water around. You know, I flee from my country and in circumstances that you would never imagine. And just being safe here, it took me years just to realize that I'm in a safe country, because I was always scared. I was like, something will happen. And nothing happened. And I'm safe. So I really thank God. And now I'm thinking about those who never made it to the state or to another country. So, I mean, they need help. So that's why I'm raising my voice for, we need to support each other. And as women, men, they will never think about us, our need. They don't care.
That's why we stick together.
Yeah, we do have to.
So how else can people help besides coming to the concert and learning more about What's going on in the Congo?
They can support the project. I'm available on my email, on my phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, any help is welcome, you know, because when you live down in Africa, you don't throw stuff away because you know the value of it. Until you come here, sometimes people take things for granted, even water, they throw away. But water is just so precious. You should see how people kind of worship water down there. When you have a nice glass of water, you just don't drink it straight. You take your time because you want to enjoy
it. Savor it and enjoy it. You know? Do you have a website with all this?
I do have a website, and the website, they're updating it right now because it was most of my caterer and my hot sauce. And now we are adding for the event and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, you used to have a non-profit organization, but it's still under construction. I haven't had my 501c3 yet.
Yeah.
It takes forever.
Years.
Yes, it does. So I'm kind of focusing on my business right now.
Okay. Mm. Well, good to know.
Mama Africa will be presenting Kanda Bongo Man up in Ogden on Friday, September 20th and Saturday, September 21st at the Val A. Browning Center for the Performing Arts at the Weber State University campus. Visit them online for tickets and more information. This is your weekly daily calendar for the week beginning on September 10th, 2013. Yes, it is hard to believe. As always, you'll want to hit slugmag.com every damn day of the week to find out all kinds of new information and new shows coming to town in and around Salt Lake City. These are the best ones I found for this week. Lots of good stuff happening. We'll start right there on Tuesday, September 10th. There is a long list of worthwhile shows. Cody Chestnut, who some of you might remember for collaborating with The Roots several years ago, he's headlining at the Stateroom. It's literally been almost a decade since his last album. He's got a new one out last year. Really good stuff. A funky soul man. Great guitar player. Really strong songwriter. I've seen him live before. Really an amazing show. Also that night, over at the Urban Lounge, Ra Ra Riot, who has been through town several times. This is probably their second time on their current tour. Should be a really good one. Burt's Tiki Lounge has Valiant Thor bringing the Hard Rock Thunder. That will be a great show. Seen them before as well. Really fun. Small, sweaty club. Expect it to be really loud. Wear your earplugs, kids. Save the Day. God, those guys seem to have played here like every 3 months for most of my life, even though they've been gone a while. They're back and they're playing at Club Sound. And the Utah State Fair, yes, the Utah State Fair has 38 Special, a band that I'm actually going to recommend based on the fact that I went out to Wendover just to check out that concert venue out there. 38 Special was the guest du jour, and it was actually kind of fun. You'd never know how many 38 Special songs you know until you see them in concert and realize they filled the radio for like 15 years nonstop. Wednesday, September 11th, the March 4th Marching Band, a great reputation as a live act, sort of one of those gypsy rock bands, lots of circus act features in the show. They're at the Stateroom. Thursday, September 12th, Murder by Death is playing at Bar Deluxe. They have a great new record out within the last year. Really good rootsy rock. I'm a big fan of those guys. Friday, September 13th, Mickey Hart Band. Mickey Hart of the Grateful Dead. He is a percussion beast. He actually has a really hot band. I saw them when they came through town and played the Depot a little while ago. Great female lead singer doing the Dead songs. They're playing Park City Live. Saturday, September 14th, oh my God, Andrew WK at In The Venue. I saw him at In The Venue when his first album came out. Pretty damn entertaining, frightening, kind of cheesy, but high energy and a pretty good time. Sunday, September 15th, a couple of really strong shows to choose from. Two of my favorites. I've seen them both many times. The Black Crows are headlining at Red Butte Garden, which should be a wonderful show. They're one of my so-called guilty pleasures. Kind of jammy, always rocking. Saw them at the Speedway Cafe a good 20 years ago or so. Great band all the time. That one sold out, so you can make your way over to Jimmy Cliff playing at the Depot. Reggae legend, rock and roll Hall of Famer. Seriously, reggae at its finest. That'll be a great show. And then on Monday, September 16th, another two of my favorites competing against each other. Nico Case headlining at Red Butte Garden. That's the final Red Butte Garden show of the year. And Nico Case has a new record coming out in early September. That should be a blast. And over across town at Kilby Court, Titus Andronicus, an amazing New Jersey band. Saw them at Kilby last time they came through. It was great. They got a strong album out now this year as well. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to choose, and there's no way to see both. That is your weekly daily calendar. Once again, go to slugmag.com every day and check out the listings. You can even add your own stuff there. That is free to do, and for a mere $5 a month or $50 a year, you can add some quality links to your content. The Weekenders are a four-piece rock band from right here in Salt Lake City that originally formed in 2010 and put out their debut full-length album last year. That album is called Don't Plan On, and we're going to play a song called Alone. This is The Weekenders. Weekenders will be playing Slug Localized on Saturday, September 20th, along with the National Parks in the North Valley. The show kicks off at 9 p.m. at Urban Lounge and is just $5. For more information on The Weekenders, visit them online at theweekendersmusic.com. KUTE is the internal radio station for the University of Utah. It's available online and through the campus's internal intercom system, of all things. Its program is sent out to the student body, as well as anyone tuning in online. It's run and managed by students as part of the communications department and other talented students who just love radio. Slug writer Cody Hudson sat down with the station manager, Will Hatton, to talk about KUTE.
Is there any affiliation with KUER?
No. There's an old history with KUER and KUTE. We used to, like, the student-run station used to be KUER. Probably about 30 or 40 years ago, they decided that they wanted to kind of branch off and become a public radio. And so they became what they are now, and that's kind of where KUTE came from. Like, they were like, well, we still want to have a student radio station, and so that's how that kind of came about.
Is KU generally paid for, like, through student funds?
Right. We're starting to do advertising now, like, for campus groups and stuff like that, bringing in a little bit of funds, but I'd say, like, 90% of our funds really come in from student fees.
Yeah, so it's, like, allocated through the ASUU? Right?
Correct, okay. Yeah.
So what liberties are you granted being an internet radio station as opposed to a traditional broadcast station?
Well, honestly, we don't have the FCC regulations, like, that you would see with a AM or FM feed. We still kind of, just out of professionalism of being on campus and being a student organization, try to keep it kind of within the same realm of FCC, but we honestly have a lot of opportunities to do things that you wouldn't necessarily get to do on an FM feed because we don't have those regulations. As a nonprofit organization, FM, or, you know, through the FCC, that would require you to have underwriting, which is advertising in a sense of, like, you know, KUTE is brought to you by Slug Magazine, and just maybe a soft mention of what Slug Magazine is, whereas, like, an actual advertising would be like, hey, come to Slug, or, you know, pick up Slug Magazine today, and different places where it's like a call to action. And so being on the internet, we have that freedom to not have to worry about things like underwriting or commercials.
I know when we play music on the podcast, there are, like, some rules we have to follow. I remember we do, like, a best of podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Year, and we generally pick some songs and play clips, but we can only play clips. We don't have the rights.
Right, yeah. That's the thing about podcasting. We found out we actually were putting out our shows on demand, only to find out that 90% of our material was copyrighted.
What disadvantages do you feel you have as an internet radio station?
Honestly, when people come up to us at the beginning of the semester when we're trying to advertise who we are, like, on campus during, like, those, you know, big events that they have, they're all, like, the first question is always, what's the dial? Like, where do I go to tune in? And we always tell them internet. So that's why kind of one of the reasons why we rebranded ourselves is to say that we're KU Internet Radio. So they stop asking us, where do I dial to? But I honestly think we kind of lose something for not having an FM feed. I think some of the other challenges are, honestly, when you look at radio, you don't typically think of internet. And so we're constantly having to kind of, you know, challenge that notion.
How big is your listener base?
We bring in about somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 a month, which is pretty decent numbers in terms of, I mean,
percentage of the campus, that's a pretty big percentage.
Yeah, honestly, we're probably looking at maybe 5% of campus. And our goals are to, you know, start bringing in more like 20, 25% of the campus listenership anyway.
What is the experience like for the student DJs?
We're progressively trying to improve our abilities as a radio station. We're improving our equipment, our software program that we use, and give them the most realistic opportunity they would in the real world, or, like, to have something that can translate into real world skills. And so, you know, having the best line that we can get helps, but those are the kind of benefits students will get from being a part of the station.
So are the students that that participate, are they mainly broadcast, they are communication students?
Honestly, no. I'm not even a broadcast or communications major. I'm actually sociology. That's the thing, when we recruit new people, you know, we recruit from all the student body. You know, we definitely try to pull from the communications department, but if somebody wants to, you know, we almost kind of frame it as, hey, do you want to get into radio? Do you want like a hobby? Have something fun with it, you know? And a lot of times people get really interested in it and find that they really like radio and then end up sticking in radio. Like we had a former director that was also a sociology major, had no intentions in radio, and then joined the station, and now he's working professionally for Cumulus, and he loves working radio.
Cool. What are some of the more popular programs that you guys air?
Honestly, we have a handful. Right now, probably one of the most popular ones is a show called All of the Above with Brittany and Anna. And these two girls that started, honestly, this summer. This is their first year doing a show. And we've just seen their listenership just increases week to week. And I think it's just because, A, they play good music, and B, they're fun. And so they you know, have a good combination. The show that I host with my friend Ryan Bennett, called Geek Revolution Radio, that brings in some pretty good numbers. We basically, you know, talk about everything and anything geek, you know, from Star Wars to baseball. I mean, we kind of had a whole episode arguing the debate of, can you be a geek for baseball or for sports in general? And I think we came to the conclusion that you can. You can definitely be a nerd for baseball. There's some baseball numbers that come around with that. So honestly, I'd say like most of our lineup is full of just really good shows. I think some people are new, some people are, you know, have been around for 2 or 3 years, and you can definitely tell the new people, they're progressively getting better at what they're doing, but got a really good lineup. When you look at K8 Radio, there's a lot of things that we're doing to continually progress our station. Like, we are always trying to find ways to improve and become better. K8 has always had kind of an interesting past, like in terms of relationship with the university. Like, we were shut down for a while, about 5 to 10 years ago, and we've been having to rebuild ever since then. And since then, I feel like the station is progressively every year getting better. Because of that, you know, I think come 5 years from now, you know, when you go around the city of Salt Lake and you say, you know, what are radio stations that you like to listen to? And, you know, what are you checking out? And I really want Kate to be one of those ones that, you know, you would pull somebody and be like, what's the radio station that you listen to on a regular basis? Whereas in right now, I think that the knowledge of the station is kind of limited. Like, some people know about it, other people have never even heard about it. And that's the thing, like, you find that on campus. The university has a radio station? I'm like, come on. Like, that's like traditional. Like, every college has a radio station, right?
To listen to the station online, visit them at kuteradio.org. Thank you for listening to Soundwaves from the Underground, and for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit us online at slugmag.com. We're going to have Yelp's Jeffrey Stedman back in the studio next week to talk about places along the River District of Salt Lake City, and we'd like to hear what your favorite joints are in the area. You can either send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Give us a good tip, we just might play it on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. The main logo and art design is by T. Doan, and the technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to fire up the Soundwaves podcast again. Next week, we'll be talking about the River District once again. We'll talk to the folks from the West Side Business Alliance. We'll talk to Yelp Utah about great places to eat in the neighborhood. And we'll talk with the folks from Neighborhood Works. Thanks for listening.